welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of March 24th through the 30th. I'm your host, Cardzy B. So a little about me, for those of you who have been listening for a while, you know the deal. I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was in grade school, and since then I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzy B. So we've been in a powerful energy cycle. I don't know if you guys are feeling this. I've heard this from a lot of my friends, family, clients. We just finished a major super full moon on Wednesday the 20th, and this is actually the first time the full moon has occurred on the same day as the spring equinox since 1981. Like, I wasn't even born yet. So it's been a while. So it felt like a really strong force. So some of us felt really tired. I myself was having trouble sleeping when I don't normally the first couple nights of the past week, and I heard that from a lot of people as well. We're also at the end of Mercury retrograde, so a lot of us are looking forward to this Thursday, March 28th, when Mercury goes back direct. If you've been experiencing delays or problems with technology or communication, things are about to improve in those arenas. So since this is the last week of March's cards, we'll just go through them once again. We're dealing with the moon, the card that pushes us to really see both our light and shadow selves and truly kind of see them and accept both in order to align with our most authentic self, which really is a combination of both of those sides. We also have one more week of March's other card, Ten of Pentacles, and that's really helping some abundance to flow into our lives as a result of all of the work that we've been doing. Now for the card of the week. Let's take a look. Knight of Wands. All right, we need some fun this week, and this looks like it's going to be a good one. So in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this is a knight on horseback holding a wand up in the air, charging forward, and the horse is on its hind legs, really ready to lunge forward. It's kind of like lunging into the spring season. This card is perfect. So the card before this one is the Page of Wands, which represents kind of that fiery start of a new idea. Well, the knight shows the actual pursuit of that. So this is a card of a lot of energy, passion, motivation, enthusiasm that then is channeled into action. So we usually look at the astrological rulings as well, but the court cards have elemental rather than astrological rulings. And that means they're linked to two of the four elements rather than to planets and constellations as the rest of the cards are. Knights are ruled by air and wands are ruled by fire. So when you think about it, the element of air fuels fire, makes it bigger, makes it grow, and fire heats air. So this is an extremely expansive energy that we're going to be moving through this week in this card. And Badass Bitches Tarot, Knight of Wands is Cardi B. Love her so much, Avi. She's my namesake. And she has that passionate trailblazing energy. This card, much like the King of Wands, can also, on the flip side, can be impulsive and even reckless at times, but it is always making moves and having a good time. I don't think there could be a more perfect card as an intro for this week's guests, who are two badass bitches making moves in the metaphysical world. I've been listening to their podcast for some time now and totally fangirled out when I was interviewed by them in LA recently. I am beyond excited to welcome Dana Moon and Megan Granger of Superficial Magic. Hey guys, how are you?
Hi, we're great. Hi.
I'm so happy to have you guys on. Anyone who listens to my podcast knows that I'm a huge fan of Superficial Magic. I quote you guys frequently. So I'm so excited to finally have you guys on Badass Bitches Tarot. How did you guys, I've been listening to your podcast for quite a while now. How did you guys decide to start the podcast originally?
Well, first off, it's so flattering that you like it at all because we think you're like the bee's knees. Is that a term, you guys?
Yeah. I really hope if she's talking about like quoting people, it's quoting Megan and not me, because I feel like I don't think when I speak, when we record, and I just like verbal diarrhea of a lot of things.
She's like, yeah, I quoted Dana saying I went on a date with a guy and left him in the bathroom. No, okay, so I started Superficial Magic first by myself, because I was doing another podcast and I just wanted to talk more about metaphysical stuff and less like celebrity gossip and stuff like that. So I started it, and then soon into it realized I definitely needed a co-host, and Dana is the perfect person to talk about all of this stuff with. So
I feel like I manifested being a co-host, though, because I feel like I always was like trying to get myself on Superficial Magic, because I was just like such a fan of Megan and such a fan of the podcast myself, that I was like, anytime I can be a guest.
And then I was like, hey, do you just want to like be a guest forever or what? And that's where we are now.
I love that. I always say, like, when I talk about your podcast and, you know, on my podcast and just to friends that I recommend it to, I always explain that you guys do such an awesome job of kind of mixing the magical and like human or material side of life for your listeners. And I love that you guys have been deemed the mystical Romy and Michelle. I think that's beyond accurate. And I just want to hear more about kind of how you guys balance both sides of that, because I know you both also work in comedy, and then you know, do a lot around spiritual healing and manifestation practices. So how do you kind of balance both sides to that?
Well, that's a good question.
I feel like, for me, I'm still trying to like find the balance, and I just felt like such an outsider, you know, like always, and just full of shame and always embarrassing myself. That's kind of like how I like was led into comedy. From there, like right when I started getting into all of like spiritual stuff was when I started comedy, and it just made more sense. Like it made life make more sense on like a deeper level. Cause I always like question things, and I think I'm still trying to like find the balance. I think that's why this interests me, because I'm finding practices that are like really working for me and helping me evolve and up level my own life, and I love to share those with people, like, just yeah, in general.
I think Dana and I first bonded, like, she moved into my neighborhood, and I said, let's go get a Bloody Mary. She is now sober, so this could not happen now, but I said, let's go get a Bloody Mary. It was, like, midnight, and we just started complaining about our lives and realized we both listened to Abraham Hicks videos on the computer like every day.
Oh my God, that was a major like bonding moment where I was like, I couldn't believe I met anybody that was more obsessed with Abraham Hicks as me.
Yeah, we like know the lingo, you know, which is pretty dorky.
I love that. It's so funny. Like I reference him as Abe now because I'm also a super fan. And I get so excited when I meet other people, because it is kind of like a rare niche of people that are even familiar with Abraham Hicks and then like really, really into it. So I love that about both of you.
But yeah, I think we related on that, and there's still a lot of, you know, a huge part of me that is quote unquote superficial. I want to work in the entertainment industry. I like going to Crossroads and buying a lot of stupid outfits and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not trying to disentangle myself from that, because I was kind of raised where the material world was bad and blah, blah, but I think it's fine and I think it's fun. But then just weaving in the deeper meaning and why we're here, and I don't know, just marrying those two feels really natural to me, and I'm not able to like fake being more spiritual than I actually am or more not. So it just comes off as authentic.
You know what's so funny is, well, first of all, I just have to go back to what Dana said about being an outsider. I find that that resonates with me so deeply, but I find that shocking, because I think both of you guys are so fucking cool. Like, I was very intimidated when I first came on your podcast, because I had listened to it. I'm like, oh my God, they're so cool. They're gonna think I'm such a loser. So I love that is, you know, hearing that was your experience of being an outsider as well, that you would never know that, because you guys are just cool as fuck. But in addition to that, I love what you guys said about just you can't really fake it, and that you are both sides of that coin, and it's not mutually exclusive. It's so funny. I was watching that new Whitney Houston film on the way back, my flight from LA, right after I met you guys, and she had a quote of saying, like, fitting in culture as a minority at that time in the 80s, she really had to have like a double consciousness in terms of she was perceived, you know, sometimes as white, as this like celebrity, but then the Black culture would shun her for that. And then white people were like, well, you're not white. And she was like, where do I fit in? And I think that that really applies to people that are kind of developing their spiritual awareness as well.
Oh, totally. Totally. It really has to be the switch into you trusting your own guidance system instead of anything outside of you, because it's not going to add up that way.
Yeah. And I love that how you kind of both said it's just how you exist. You find it healing, and that you've actually like both referenced that it's helped you on like the quote unquote material side or like in your comedy careers. I think that when you just authentically embrace that, that's been my experience as well. So I think that that's like an amazing like tip for people that are listening that are struggling with that. Cause I think there are always people that are going to be, you know, more quote unquote woo woo or spiritual that look down upon others. And there are people that are in, you know, in the superficial world that think you're crazy and too out there. So there's never like be enough for everyone. So it's really just kind of embrace it for yourself. The next question I had is like more time specific. Do you guys do any rituals around the new moon, full moon? Did you guys do anything for the big full moon spring equinox last night?
Yeah, I mean, Dana, I think, cleansed every crystal in her house. She's smiling.
Is that what you did?
I wrote down a sheet of like everything I wanted to let go of and everything that wasn't serving me and things I'm struggling with. And then, like, once I started writing, I just, like, couldn't find enough paper. Like, kept going and going. And then I just meditated on, like, seeing all of these things that are holding me back. Just, like, kind of just putting them out, like, off my shoulders and into the ethers. And it was really relaxing. I don't know if that's even a practice, by the way. I normally do like light a fire in my apartment and try to burn it down, and with my lid.
Oh, yeah,
I'm always very safe when I light my paper on fire, by the way.
Oh, I basically, my friend Natalie was over and was like, you realize you have a gas leak in your apartment, right? And like every day you're like, let's do incense, witch circles. And I'm like about to blow up Silver Lake.
What did I do? So I have had incidents with fire in my apartment. So now I try to be more careful. So I often bury things or dump them in the Hudson, which I'm probably going to get hate mail for this, but they're all biodegradable, people. So I wrapped up a bunch of like paper items that are things similarly that I was releasing. One was like a list written out, and then another was just items that I was like holding on to too closely. Cause I always say with releasing, it's not always dark shadow. Like I want to release my ex or I want to release this vice. It's like, it can also be like this thing you're trying to force. Cause I think all three of us are like, you know, from the stories that you guys have shared, are good manifestors. And sometimes that can lead you to like kind of playing like force with the universe of like, this is happening. And so I tried last night a bunch of things that I was really like, okay, thank you for this, and please, please, please give me more of. And I kind of was like, okay, I'm gonna just let that go and trust that the universe is gonna bring the right stuff in, you know?
I love that. I love that.
This made me think of, I'm really, really, really trying to like 100% let go and surrender, because I do realize I'm such a good manifester when I do that. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy how much things will instantly appear in my life and the synchronicities when I just chill out and like surrender. But I'm finding that to be still a struggle.
That's
yet again.
It's so frustrating because like everything you don't really give a fuck about just comes to you instantly, and you're like,
within a nanosecond,
why am I strangling the things I really want to death? Like a little like 2-year-old carrying around a kitten, just smushing it.
It's
too dark.
No. And
it's like, Becca, I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I want to Marie Kondo my life. Sorry, I have a cold right now and I feel like my voice is just so annoying. But anyway, I want to get rid of a bunch of stuff. And I have boxes of like every card and letter, an old journal and stuff that I've had since I lived in LA like 10 years ago. and I feel really guilty and like I have to keep them, but I don't want them.
Yes.
Can I throw them away?
Absolutely. And you know what? I have an amazing book that I would recommend for you for this. It's one of those where it's like the chapters are super short and it's a fast read and I love it. It's called Outrageous Openness by Tasha Silver. And I'll put that in the notes to this episode of the podcast. And she actually gives an exact example of that, of she had a friend that was an author that kept all of this fan mail because she was so grateful. And that's, you're grateful that these people like love you and are sending you letters. And she asked the same question of like, oh my God, I just want to clear this space in my apartment. And the author, Tasha Silver, who's like a reader and a healer, said, you know, you can just lovingly like thank the universe and release it. And she's like, just, you can light it on fire. You can throw it out, whatever feels cathartic, but just say thank you for this and acknowledging that it's been such an energetic part of your process, but then letting it go so that you can allow more to come in. And right after this woman did this, she then got like a second book deal and things were flowing in. So I definitely think, and I've had those, that was like literally part of what I dumped in the Hudson was things that I was grateful for. Like it was like my contract with my agency at Paradigm. It was, I mean, a copy. I still have the digital actual. Like stuff that I was like, yes to this and thank you, universe, give me more. And it was kind of like, I'm just going to like, thank you, release it. And just kind of allow the universe to let more flow in that's in my best and highest interest and not try to like write the script of what that looks like. And I think that with all of the things that you're holding on to that like are obviously cherished things and things that you're expressing gratitude for, you can totally just like kind of like, you know, spend time meditating on the gratitude of that and like for the lessons, for the memories, for the energy it brought you, and then let it go and kind of see what flows in from there. I would be curious to see how that works out.
You are so calming.
Oh,
I feel like a million has just been lifted off my shoulders. Yes, that's exactly what I'll do. Dana and I are just like staring off into space listening to you. Like,
no, yeah,
drooling.
Okay. I love, I think, Megan, you have to.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's going to like open up infinite possibilities. You got to like just purge it.
It was interesting because when I moved into this apartment, it's a one bedroom. It's really, really pretty. And I got all of this furniture from my friend who is moving to Bali. And it's like, she has really nice stuff. Like tons of Gucci purses and really beautiful furniture and whatever. And I was setting it all up because she was letting me have it while she was gone. And I was like, I'm going to feel so dope when this is set up. Like, whoa, it's going to look so cool. And then I just realized I really don't give a shit about stuff. And I want to own like 10 things and be done with it.
I love that. And I think when you have that mentality of like a detachment to material things, like it's like we were just saying about everything else, it flows in so much more easily. And it's not that it's meaningless. Like you can have a gratitude for it, but it's not that like it induces less of a lack mentality, you know, because you're like grateful. Cool. Yeah, but it's not this like severe attachment,
right? And I want abundance and I want to be able to buy whatever I want. It's just like owning things, I've realized, isn't my passion. So it was really cool to figure that out. And I'm ready to get a lot of stuff.
I love that.
But don't material objects, like certain ones, bring you joy?
Totally. I want that's why I said Marie Kondo. I want like just the objects that bring me joy.
Do you know what I realized? I have so many clothes, I legit, and things that I don't use in my apartment, clothes I don't wear. And I'm like, I feel like it's just stagnant energy taking up space for no reason in my life. And yeah. I know that might sound dramatic, but like, I just want to wear and have only things that I wear consistently and that are like, feel nice and look nice and bring me joy.
Dana and I are going to get like a slutty Steve Jobs uniform.
It's like a turtleneck, but it still shows our cleavage. You're like, wait, how is it showing today? It's a turtleneck.
It's like a midriff see-through turtleneck.
I actually can picture this. I'm like, yeah, totally. Cut out a triangle below the line. I kind of want one now too. I'm definitely feeling this.
Oh, God.
No, to that point, I have to, I know that, like, we talked about this story in person or on the podcast, but Megan, like, I have to have you re-explain of when you wanted a new couch and how that worked out, because I think okay. I've seen this since then for friends of mine and clients, and I think that that's, like, such a good example of how detachment and how clearing things that are stagnant work.
Perfect. I got this couch, like, 10 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. And it was like giant. And it was an HD Buttercup couch that was like really big. Dana had to carry it up.
Side note, I literally broke my back carrying it on up to her apartment.
Dana's very strong. So I get it up to my apartment. It's up there for a few months. I'm sick of it. I hate it. I want a new couch. I keep asking the universe for a new couch. Like, couches are so expensive. I just couldn't figure out how this was going to work. And then one day I was just like, fuck it. I have to get a new couch. And so I just took the couch out of my house. I hired this guy and like dropped it off at the Goodwill and came home and was like, Dana was like, you can't just not have a couch. And I was like, no, I'm going to get one. I was like, I'm going to get one today. I made space for it. It's coming. And she was like, oh my God, we come back home and my neighbor across the hall was moving. He got kicked out for like Airbnb in his place. And he's so hot, by the way. And he was like, hey, I'm moving. Do you want my couch? And it was like this beautiful blue couch. And I was like, yep, move it right in here. And within an hour after getting rid of it, I had a new couch.
That is.
And I took, what was it, Chris Hemsworth? Old coffee table?
Yeah, my fine ass neighbor who was moving was also, I guess, he was friends with Chris Hemsworth and he had a coffee table that he was like, Dana, do you want it? And Dana just like dry humps it every night.
Oh, I dry humped it immediately. And then I go, I have to buy this now that my vagina was on every corner.
Oh my
God. And then I took it home with me.
I need you guys to come and help me manifest some like fancy furniture. I'm loving this. That's an incredible skill that you guys have. I love this.
It gets harder when it's like people, because I know it's that same way with guys too. You know, you always have like the old couch guys or girls romantically in the corner that you're like, I need the new one to come along, like so I can move on. And it's like, no, you've got to take them to the Goodwill, leave them in the trash can. Come back home and wait for your hot ass neighbor to fuck you. What are you saying, Dana?
Wait, Megan, I just realized Megan tells a story and she leaves out the most important part of the story is that she got a like $2,000 flat screen TV for like $100 from a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Megan like was manifesting crazy expensive shit for like nothing, right? She has the nicest flat screen and then my friend Phil, who moves comedians basically for free, and he goes, give me money if you want, and he spends the whole day helping people move.
I give him so much money.
Megan, because he doesn't charge, Megan was like, $900, here you go. And then she also gave him her like $2,000 flat screen TV. And she got for $100. She gave it to him for free.
And then I didn't have a TV. That took a little bit longer to manifest. That took like a week. But I was like, I know a flat screen's going to show up. And then it did. Look, there's my TV.
It's literally such a bad TV.
Phil has mastered the art of allowing, right? Because he's just like, cool, if you want, whatever. And then totally got way, way overcompensated as a result of that. So he's kind of like the master of this. And then I'm going to say,
yeah,
Megan's like second level below Phil, but he's killing it.
He literally helps comedians move who don't have a lot of money to hire movers. And he's the nicest person ever.
He's like an angel. He's just a really big comedy fan and he's really funny and he gives back and it's beautiful. And I want you to make a tarot card with Phil's face on it.
Oh my God, I want to do a deck of, I have a million things on my list of projects, but I keep getting asked if I'll do a deck of all men because mine is now like all empowered women. It's badass bitches, right? And so I want to eventually do Magical Mofos Tarot and that will be all like
Yes. Super
cool guys. So we'll put Phil up in there. We'll have to think of which card he is. Yes.
Oh, I love it.
That's amazing.
You make like a fuckboy deck.
Hey, yeah, I love this. I feel like you can be my chief marketing officer for sure.
Oh my God, Pauly D, or what is it? One of the Jersey Shore guys.
Yeah, for sure. We'll discuss it over a meeting.
Oh, fuckboy Zach is so brilliant.
Yeah. Sorry, Becca, what were you going to ask us?
No, I love that. No, my next question was because I kind of like, I know a lot of like kind of like your little stories of manifesting, of like how you kind of discover your superpowers almost. But I want to know, I guess maybe the podcast is the answer to this, because I have a segment on my podcast called Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet. And that's people.
I love that.
Thank you so much. And it's listeners that are kind of writing in or messaging me with their stories of how they come out to like family or coworkers that don't necessarily know that they, you know, work with crystals or read tarot or practice Reiki. And I find like I'm a gay lady, and I feel like it's harder sometimes to come out of the spiritual closet than to come out of the gay closet for people, myself included. Do you guys have any distinct moments of that for yourselves, of coming out of the spiritual closet, and like how was it received? Was it positive, negative?
Like to our family?
To anyone that was kind of a pivotal moment of sharing that side of point where you kind of reveal you're practicing and how.
Well, number one, I will say that when you live on the West Coast, it's not as big of a deal. If on the East Coast, you're like, I have a crystal, people are like, I would have rather you told me you were like a terrorist or something. Or, you know, that's too close to home. But yeah, just like they really judge it. So here, it's very like, okay, cool. But my family's really religious. They do not like this kind of stuff at all. But I think with people like that, you just can't ask permission at all. You know, you just, they'll come over and there will be crystals here and they'll kind of make fun of it or whatever. And I'll be like, haha, not moving on. And then with superficial, like guys hate it. Men always hate this kind of stuff I've had in my life. Like some guys love it, I'm sure. But so I think coming out of the closet has been the worst with like people I'm dating, because they're just automatically like, oh God, you're like one of those girls and you like blah, 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 blah. And actually my last relationship ended because of it. And then he went and did ayahuasca after our breakup and met God and told me everything I said was true.
That's amazing validation. Like that must have felt really good.
Yeah, it was heavenly, but it was kind of too late for us to go back. So I just tell people pretty straightforward what's up. And I think if you just, God, I guess that's now though. Back in the day it was scarier. I guess start a community of people who love talking about this kind of stuff, like your community. You can join so many chats or like Instagram, follow people who like it so that it becomes more normalized.
I feel like any yoga studio you subscribe to or sign up to, everybody is on board, right? So just, I think, kind of start a meditation. We have like the dead medit. I don't know if this is a West Coast thing, but I'm sure in New York you guys have like meditation studios, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
It just seems so big and scary sometimes when you're not raised in it or whatever. Like, I can't meditate. I can't, like, I don't know how to do this or that. And it's stuff that's so innate within us and so easy and necessary that, like, there are a lot of societal bullshit doors we have to knock down just in the pursuit of normal, healthy things we need to experience.
I would say this, like my family's East Coast, on the East Coast, and they're super not spiritual, like at all. And they're almost against it. And I, like, they think it's completely insane. They're like, Dana, you need to move to New York. They're always trying to get me to move to New York City because they think LA has made too woo-woo and like insanely spiritual. And I'm like, but I'm always like trying to like slip in like little like spiritual slang when I'm in conversation with my family, and they always agree with it. Within the conversation, I'll always slip in some like, you know, the, like, affirmations or, like, the, these things that I'm into, and that, and they don't judge it. They're just like, oh, yeah, you're right. And, like, even my sister is the most judgmental of it and, like, thinks the crystals are insane. But then she's like, oh, but they're so pretty, you know. So I kind of am like, and I told her, I was like, we're all spiritual beings. Like, I don't understand why spirituality is so frowned upon when, like, the source of who we are is spiritual. Like, the essence of what we are is spirit.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but
that people are against it.
Yeah, but some people really, like, it's like when Christianity comes up sometimes for me, I'm like, oh, just because of how I was raised, or like things, and like some things are just not going to resonate with people. And like, the first book that opened me up to all of this was The Power of Now.
Same.
And I sent it to my mom thinking that, because she was like having a hard time, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to blow her mind, like, wow. And she wrote me back and was like, this is basically of the devil, you know. So that was my my bad coming out story. But yeah, once the doors are open and you have a community, it's pretty natural to just keep going.
Yeah, I definitely, and I think that was, I love your advice about just finding where, like, places you enjoy, whether that's like a meditation studio or a yoga studio, or even just like podcasts and like Instagrams. Because I mean, I obviously like started my Instagram for my tarot practice, but I've connected with so many people through that. And even like, love that I became friends with you guys just from, you know, stalking your podcast. And then we have some mutual friends in LA. And I think that like, it kind of has that, it's law of attraction. It has that effect. The more that you open yourself up to that, you meet one person and then you meet five, and then you're like, oh, there's definitely more little like spiritual weirdos out there.
Just from doing this pod, just from like jumping on, you know, in July, I feel like I'm a completely different person just from like this, just from being on this podcast.
Well, just because we get to talk to
the people, we get to talk to, the conversations we get to have, like, for me, it's helping me evolve at such a faster pace if I were not to be doing this.
I feel like at the core of all of us, there's like a tuning fork of our true frequency. And when we move the bullshit, everything that's vibrating at that frequency too is just like, boom, right to you. Tune yourself, meditate, walk, you know, whatever you can do to like get in your actual natural frequency and see what shows up, because it's crazy and some people aren't going to like it, but that's all right.
I love that. And I think it's the same as, I know we keep going back to Marie Kondo, but I think it's the same as, you know, with material, like physical items, like removing toxic people. And, you know, if there are people that you leave and you feel drained, that you just, even if it's like you just don't feel connected to, I've done a lot of cleansing of the people in my life this past year. I had like a really big impactful ayahuasca journey myself. And there are some people that I released from my life. Some I gently ghosted and some I had to full on just block. But that being said, like, I met you guys. I've met some amazing new friends who are definitely much more in sync with just, you know, how we connect, the things that we discuss. And I just have much more feeding and fulfilling conversations as a result of that. So I think it's the same as like, whether you're cleaning out your drawer or furniture or just negative energy in relationships in your life, it allows more to flow in.
Wow, that totally just, like, yeah, that hit me hard, because you're right. Like, it's like we just need to do the thank you and then you can let it go. Like, just like the material object, you thank it and then you're not, like, we don't have to keep relationships with people forever. Why do we think that?
I just did that. One of my previous podcasts was like, in the Pisces energy of March, is kind of giving yourself that unapologetic permission. And it can be something that served you, of like, thank you, this relationship, this person was perfect for that time. Like, I've had friends that they were perfect for that point in time, but they're just, we're not evolving in the same direction. I'm not saying like one is higher or lower, even, it's just different forks in the road.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. And it's okay to be like, okay, like, we're gonna part ways for now. And maybe we'll loop back around one day. But like, I'm okay to create that space for something that's like more aligned in the journey that I'm headed on right now.
I think I love cleansing so much that I think I cleanse too many people that I'm like, maybe I need to like take a step back and realize why I'm like cleansing so many people. But yeah, I just feel like if you're kind of moving along your journey and you both of you aren't really serving each other and you kind of leave that person feeling like tired and you don't know why, that for me, that was the biggest sign that I didn't pay attention to.
That's why I'm always putting Matt in Dana's food so she leaves me feeling really awake and doesn't know why.
Amazing.
Every time I leave hanging out with Megan, I have so much energy. I clean for 12 hours.
Oh my God, I love it. Well, as much as like I could literally talk to you guys like all week, but because we're getting to the end of the session of the podcast, I have to ask you, because I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, do you guys happen to have a favorite tarot card? And if you do, what is it and why?
I think probably both of ours is going to be the Joker, because we love that aspect of life and, you know, making light of things and all of that. And then in your deck, I mean, Angelina Jolie, obviously, because her and I have a lot in common.
Megan, you guys have nothing in common. Name one thing you have in common.
We were in Rite Aid at the same time.
Oh my God.
Well, I feel like she is. I'm gonna like go with you on this. I think that you guys do have Angelina Jolie is the Empress in my deck, which is kind of that like badass mother energy. So she's like totally a strong badass, but she also has a nurturing, like healing vibe and being this like strong maternal energy. And I think that just in the work that you guys do, you have that. You have both kind of that like sassy badass, but you're definitely like both nurturers and healers by nature. And even in just putting your work on Superficial Magic out to the cosmic consciousness, you're doing that. So I'm going to say that I definitely would pick the Empress for you ladies.
Thank you.
And you are like so the real deal in every way. Like you just are so real, so authentic, so honest.
And so tapped in.
So tapped in. Your talents with the tarot are crazy. I got lucky enough to see you do a reading and get one, and I'm just really thrilled to see what's going to happen with you, because it's so thrilling to see such a good person who's so honest doing so well.
Oh my God, thank you. Well, I'm going to be back in LA May 18th to do a big event with Mystic Journey in Venice Beach. So I would love to catch up with you guys when I'm back. And definitely, Dana, we have to hang when you're in New York. So,
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, please try getting rid of us.
Oh my God. So I have already shouted out your podcast in a million past ones, but I'm going to link to Superficial Magic here as well as your Instagram, which are, can you give me both your Instagram handles really quick?
Mine is at Megan Granger, MEAGANGRAINGER.
And mine is Dana Moonmead.
Awesome.
DANAMOONME.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, ladies. You're amazing.
You're amazing.
We love you so much. Thank you so much for such a good interview. And you're just the best.
I could not love Dana and Megan more. Like, I basically just want to move into like a luxury witchy commune with both of them, similar to Isabella Rossellini's house in Death Becomes Her. Just saying. Before we head out, just wanted to give a quick recap of the month that is our last week. We still have the Ten of Pentacles bringing in some serious abundance and the Moon teaching us to love our shadow self, aka Shaved Head Brittany, as much as we love the light side, Sexy Brittany. And this week is bringing us Knight of Wands, bringing in that fun, fierce, inspired action and having fun while doing it, Cardi B style. Don't forget to check out Instagram Live tonight and every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. Tune in for an overview of the upcoming week's cards and a chance to ask your own questions for a free mini live reading. You can also send questions through in advance to make sure I get to them at badassbitchestarot.com or Instagram DM me at cardsyb. I have some more events coming on the way as well. I'll be at Y7 Williamsburg for a big community brand party at 7:30 p.m. this Monday, March 25th, and I will be back in Los Angeles for a deck signing and Q&A at Mystic Journey Venice Beach, Saturday, May 18th. I'm so excited for that. It starts at 1 p.m. The first 10 customers are getting a free intention candle for the first 10 people that come in to the Q&A and deck signing, and I'm adding more and more events that are coming later this month all throughout the spring, so stay tuned. Also, if you like this episode and have a quick sec, please rate and review this podcast so more people can view it. Thanks so much for listening, and as always, stay magical AF.